cappella featuring...
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And not Jenna.
And Sidious is our guest.
He's our not Jenna for
host.
Today.
Well, this time around.
That's,
yes.
That's very Jim Henson's Dinosaurs of you.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Not the mama.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
the...
Yeah, no.
You caught the reference.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
we are joined by Sidious Scotchbringer.
Hello. How is everyone this evening?
Good.
Wait, is everybody ready for the twist?
A twist?
What a twist.
He brought scotch.
Oh, that's not a twist. Done. That's like a zest, not a twist.
Well, oh, that's... I'm sad in my pants. All right.
I'm so, okay with it suddenly.
Well, I'm glad.
I mean,
what that
it works. It
Damn
works.
It, now I don't like it.
Oh.
Salsa is a capricious god.
we actually have multiple drinks here.
Woo! Lots of drinks.
But we will start with what Sidious hath wrought. So Sidious, take it away.
It is the Laphroaig Select,
yes.
Which is a limited edition run from the Laphroaig Distillery, which is very quickly becoming one of my favorites mm-hmm. from them. It is a very very tasty dram. Mm-hmm. And okay. I'm excited to share it with you all.
What makes it limited run? What do they do differently?
You know, I don't know what they're doing differently. What they're doing is they're slapping a different label on it, and it is aged differently from basically their standard 10-year and
mm-hmm.
you know the stuff they put out all the time. This is something that only was available for a short run. So the master distiller said, "I'm going to do it this way this time,"
okay.
rather than the way he usually does.
So once this is gone,
was different.
Right.
But we don't know if it was distilled differently or aged differently.
I have not looked into the podcast that I host, Extreme mm-hmm. Tasting League Scotch, noses and tastes things. It doesn't do like dramatic right. research
well,
into
no,
that sort of thing.
We do dramatic readings.
We do dramatic readings, but not dramatic research because that would be effort.
Oh, yeah.
And we're opposed...
And that gets in the way of scotch.
We're opposed to effort because I don't have time.
Wow. You want to know how much research I did? I read the bottom, or the back of the bottle.
Which is not my job, so...
Right.
The Special Laphroaig is created using carefully select casks of each of our key styles, stretching back in time with one notable addition. The heart of this spirit is drawn from a final maturation in new American oak casks, rarely mm-hmm. used for Scotch whiskey maturation.
This is true. Those are usually mm-hmm. special editions when it's American oak.
Right.
So
it's the new American oak that is different here. So...
All right.
But I have answered my own question.
We're going to give us the nose here and kind of...
The shadow nose.
Only the shadow knows.
But the shadow has a really good nose because this is.
I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, I could just sit here smelling this.
And it's so smooth.
Shall we?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Liquid love.
Oh.
That is.
Oh,
so
whoa.
Smooth, it's non existent.
Oh,
like,
it's
wow.
so smoky. And delicious.
Extremely smoky, delicious, but there is no bite to it at all. It's even velvet would be rough compared to this. This is...
And I would say a two-finger pour with a single relatively small ice cube also is actually really good, although as a general rule there's no reason
right,
to necessarily water this down, but it maintains quite well, and the water kind of adds a level of creaminess to it.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's like a butteriness.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
it brings that out a little bit more,
but it's like 3,000 thread count Egyptian silk sheets smooth, like
yeah, this is good stuff. Because I host the podcast and have so many bottles in my house, I don't usually go out and get things just
more?
For myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, exception.
No, well, fucking
definitely an
right.
exception.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is very good stuff.
In addition to that, James and myself have something. Sidious is more than welcome to have a taste if he wants. Absolutely. But he is not a partaker of beer in general.
Mm-hmm. I do not care for the hoppiness.
You really are our stunt Jenna.
Yes.
Very much so.
For the episode, yeah.
But, and I will get into this a little later in the show, but I was at a Renaissance Festival in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin means New Glarus. So I came home with a ton of New Glarus, you guys.
Yeah, like you do.
I was paralyzed by choice. You were like, which one should we? And I was like,
The answer is yes.
I fucking stocked up.
The answer is please.
So this time around, we are trying the Cranbic.
Yeah.
2018 Cranberry Lambic, as you may have deduced. So let's find out.
Or may not have. Mm. Here's to us.
Bing!
Mm. That's a bit of all right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Nice tart finish.
Yeah. That's not even a beer.
No, it's a lambic.
So on a flavor profile for the beer disinclined, what is a lambic compared to?
A lambic is, it's a Belgian style, so it's a sour flavor. So instead of hoppy, malty flavors, you get more of a sour.
Maybe I will have to. Yeah. I do like Belgians.
Mm-hmm. But it's a fruity Belgian. By definition, a lambic is fruit flavored. So
that is very passable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Dang. I dig on that. And I'm not a cranberry fan, and that's good.
Yeah. No Glarus knows their shit. So now that we've got the drinking out of the way.
Speaking of which,
oh yeah,
my work cooler. I came in to work and I looked at our
full Olympic
beer fridge. No, we had a New Glarus day.
Nice.
Ooh.
Yeah. nothing this fancy, but just the, like the regular.
Yeah, yeah. You just spotted cow.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I took a picture of it for you.
Thank
I was gonna
you.
Be like, I'm gonna shoot salsa.
Yeah, and then I showed you my beer fridge, right. And suddenly,
yeah, I'm not as good as yours, but that's fine.
No, because I opened the door and I was like, James, choose which one. And I was like, here's our choice of 5 different New Glarus and 3 other beers of a different Wisconsin brewery. Right. Which one would you like to try?
Yeah. Paralysis of choice.
Hey, I was at a Renaissance Festival in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Let's just dive straight into that.
I was going to say.
Because I'm here. I was at the, once again, performing at the Janesville Renaissance Festival in Janesville, Wisconsin. And I like that festival.
Hmm.
I do. I really enjoy that festival. It's, last week I was talking about the Nebraska Renaissance Festival. And the Nebraska Renaissance Festival, the site is gorgeous. And Janesville cannot compare site-wise to Nebraska. Nebraska's site is just way, way, way better. Whereas Janesville is in a park next to the river, just in the middle of Janesville.
I mean, it sounds beautiful, but not the same.
No, it's not. And I mean, it's a very nice park, don't get me wrong, but...
Sure. It's still a fucking park.
You are literally in the middle of Janesville. You look up on top of the hill on the other side of the river is the hospital.
Sure.
And ambulances are coming and going.
That would
time.
Break character for me.
No, it's there, you know, and that would, like, I was camping out there and middle of the night, you know, ambulances coming in and stuff. It was just like, there's cars driving by, like, a few hundred feet away from you.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, whatever. You're
in the middle of your ye olde shtick, and you bump into one of those standing charcoal grills.
It's roped off. It's not, there's no Sunday, you know, people having a Sunday barbecue there or anything like that. It is roped off because they do have a liquor license.
Although I imagine us just standing at the ropes, just being like...
But they do have a liquor license, and part of that is they have to have it, you know, roped
separated.
Up, so,
as per the Offspring's advice,
exactly. So, but that having been said, so the site isn't as nice, but the people that run that festival are fan fucking tastic. Hmm. The people who go to that festival are amazing. They want to be entertained.
Sure.
Like they're there to have a good time. And I don't know, there's just something about the vibe there that is just so fun.
Yeah.
Like, that's a fun festival. You know, they're not taking it too seriously or not anything like that. It's just, we're going to have a fucking great time. And the other entertainers there, you know, I like them all, and they're good people. I absolutely love the Janesville Festival. I hope nice. That one continues on for many, many yeah. years. And they also do it for charity.
That's fucking awesome.
Like, I don't make a lot of money at that festival. It's one of my lowest paying festivals that I do.
Sure.
Because a lot of their proceeds go to various charities and stuff like that.
That's still fucking awesome. That was one of my favorite parts of working for the booth.
Yeah.
Was that they're a charitable
mm-hmm.
game.
I
was going to ask, how did your new stuff go over?
Fantastic.
Fucking awesome.
Amazing. I did stupid human tricks that uh-huh. nobody has any right to do.
Uh-huh. One to and salsa.
Mm-hmm. On a scale of one to salsa, this was at a 9. Oh, like, this shit. Was...
Not almost, but not quite the full salsa?
It was...
The movie, the full salsa, is yeah, a lot
well,
more...
I mean, I was in a public park, so I wasn't eating mm-hmm. glass or anything like that, but I was still doing some pretty dumb stuff. And the wind on Sunday... Like, oh. Saturday, though, I was really worried because I was afraid it was going to rain both weekends again.
Yeah.
Like, last year, it rained both days, and it was a it was a wash in many ways for me. But this year...
I get this joke.
Yeah, this year, it was the weather forecast was looking like it was going to rain both
yeah.
days. And then, it was overcast, and then yeah. Saturday showed up, and it was sunny and gorgeous.
I think we got just, your weather. Yeah.
It was amazing. It was so, so pretty on Saturday. And we had, I think, 2,200 people.
Holy
through
shit.
Through wow. the gate, which is, I think, one of their best days that they've had
that's
since they started
damn
this
decent traffic. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, and it's not a huge place. So it was packed to the gills.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, getting a crowd and doing a show, the energy was just amazing. And I was, you know, doing all my stupid shit, and did I talk last week about the new stunt that I do?
A little bit. Yeah, I think you showed us a picture of what it looked like. Yeah.
Yeah, for those that missed it, what I do is I lay down on a bed of wood screws, nails, but wood screws, and then I do a fire-breathing stunt called a no escape, which is... Basically, in a nutshell, you are laying on the ground doing a fireball. And yeah. it's called a no escape for obvious reasons. If the fire comes back at you or something like that, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah.
It's you are already...
You are stuck under
your back is against the wall, so to speak.
Yeah.
You can't...
-4 penalty for being prone.
Yeah, you can't... Uh-huh. Exactly. They're just... You have nowhere to go.
The fire gets an attack of opportunity.
Exactly. So I'm laying on a bed of wood screws, and then I'm... doing this fireball up in the air, and yeah, crowds went fucking apeshit for it.
Well, just based on the photo, like, yeah. I still haven't seen you do this, but based on the photo, it looks fucking incredible. Yeah.
And then pull out that katana, and people just lose their minds.
Yeah, I cringe thinking about it. James is doing a good manifestation of how I would be if I actually saw it.
Well, and I open every show with the mousetrap on tongue now.
Right. Oh, nice. That's a good way to ramp up.
It is. It's. I start the show by I start by saying telling everybody that this is. Completely real. There's no trickery. This is all
stunts.
Except
he's saying it's completely real.
Very close, actually. What I do is I start out by saying, there are no tricks. These are all stunts.
Yeah.
And I will tell you how I am able to do these. That having been said, there are a lot of techniques that I have learned over many, many years of study to not seriously injure myself. But there is another piece of that puzzle, and that piece of the puzzle is, even though I know what I'm doing, doesn't mean it doesn't still hurt.
Right.
And so I need to
and
not
And it is still incredibly dangerous.
And I need to not care that it hurts.
Yeah.
And then I demonstrate what I mean by snapping the mousetrap on
nice.
My tongue.
Yeah.
And then I do, with the mousetrap still hanging off my tongue, I start, "Oh, that isn't normal. That's a bad..."
So close. Bad.
Yeah, oh, it's like, awful, but it gets a chuckle. And,
oh, sure. Yeah.
You know?
Well,
and then I make
a... tongue still sticking to the surface, or did you varnish it?
No, I did varnish it, and nice. It has been much better.
Good, good, good.
My tongue has not been as raw not been, as like, it has been.
Peeling still, raw hamburger off.
I need to sand it a little bit more. Because sure. I took a sandpaper to kind of take off the edge.
Yeah.
Cedius, you would probably not expect anyone to care what the edges of a mousetrap feel like, but I have discovered I need to sand the edges, especially on the end, because that rough,
rough cut
really does a number on my tongue.
Yeah, there'd be no reason to use it as a mousetrap to have to worry about such things as that.
Exactly.
But if you're going to make alternative uses of such a device, you may wish to make it minor improvements.
Yeah. Sure.
So I sanded it a little bit, but I need to take a bit more of an aggressive, just on the end where the wood grain is.
Sure.
It's a couple spots where it's rough.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I had a fantastic. My shows were great. The people, like I said, the people there are wonderful. I love them and what they're doing, and that's a great little festival.
Fantastic.
Does it only run the one weekend then?
It's just a one weekend festival, yeah. Mm-hmm. If they have shitty weather or something, that's it. And last year they had really bad weather, and there was some question about whether they were going to be able to be there this year, but they got a sponsor.
Nice. Oh, very good.
There was a restaurant / bar just up the road who sponsored the event.
Aw.
And so at Cast Call, they were like, so after this, you should probably head over there and buy a sandwich and say thank you. And we were like, yes, we are. So, you know, head up the road for dinner on Saturday night and have a pint.
Oh, no, I have to eat a delicious sandwich and have beer.
And just kind of say thank you.
Terrible.
Ow, my arm is hurting from such a twist.
It was pretty tasty, too. So yeah, that was my weekend, and then I'll just keep going because I'm
sure
here.
Yeah, yeah.
Today is my son's birthday.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
Today my son is 3 years old, and fuck me, when did that happen?
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, 3 years ago.
I mean, months, depending on when you're counting from. But no, he went from a little ball of goo to this sweet, smart, goofball of a boy who is just a born clown. And I mean, that kid can mug. That kid can mug.
Oh yeah.
He's got the facial expressions. He knows he knows how to work those. He knows how to work those eyebrows like nobody's business.
When I was here last week. And he was like, just like a corgi, just like splooted out on the couch, just like,
yep. Boop.
And then like he turned, but like halfway, so that he was doing like the model, almost like the Rob Liefeld, super heroine, like look over the shoulder thing. And I was like, this baby's giving me the George Costanza right now. Fucking, and Salsa, you were losing it because, like, the look,
yeah.
Fucking
no, his face is so expressive.
Yeah,
he is such an expressive face. But yeah, he is 3 years old, and we got him a scooter.
Because
his sister has a scooter.
Yeah,
and up until this point, he has been using this tiny little tricycle that we've had for him.
Mm-hmm.
But the pedals are like 2 inches from axle, so like you there's no torque.
Yeah,
you know, and he's been frustrated with it. And,
sure.
So we got him a scooter, and this scooter is pretty dope. It's a 3-in-1, so like it starts out, you take the base, and then there's a seat attachment that sits on top of it.
Uh huh.
And then you can put a handle in the back of the seat. So that's like the first phase. You can push them around.
Yeah.
The second phase is you take the handle out and they just push themselves.
Yeah.
And then the third phase is you take the seat off, put the handle where the seat was, and now it's a regular scooter.
Oh, awesome.
So right now he's in the second phase with the seat on, and we handed it to him, and he tiny brain exploded, and he proceeded to do laps around the park on that thing.
Good.
Like he loves it. And then he would like stop in front of people and go,
my scooter.
Fuck.
So yeah, my boy is slightly less tiny.
Yeah.
And I'm not okay with that, while still being okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So good times.
I was a little bit late to recording tonight because of that.
I feel like we can forgive you for wanting to spend time with your tiny children.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Considering I haven't spent any time with them the last 2 weekends.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. So, yeah.
So anyway, that's me. What do you got?
Oh, a couple of things. But the major one is that I'm in two shows this weekend, and I'm fucking super, super excited. And I can only talk a little bit about them, but I've been preparing for them, and one of the things that I've been doing is writing fucking terrible fan fiction. And I was worried, because the first time Kyle does this show, the fan fiction, the competitive erotic fan fiction, as a comedy show, and my first entry it was Die Laughing 2017. I felt it was an incredibly strong entry. My second one I felt was good, but it just didn't quite meet the bar of excellence that in quotes that I had set the first year. And then I was worried that I would never reach out again, and maybe I never will, but I feel incredibly strong about this show's story that I've written. So I've been writing and editing and trying to pack it as full as possible with just complete absurdity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the other one, of course, is Vilification Tennis, Vil Ten Sings Disney.
Which I am so looking forward to seeing.
Yeah. And I've gotten my costume together for that, which is going to be... are you familiar with Disney bounding?
No.
Okay, so really quick. Disney bounding is for adults, because above a certain age, you are not allowed to wear a Disney costume into the park.
Sure, that makes sense.
Because...
you get mistaken for a worker or something.
Right. There are tons of reasons why... not the least of which is, you know, you don't want to confuse a kid seeing, like, three Cinderellas at the same time and all of this other stuff. So,
what Disney has super strict...
Yes, like, they do.
Like, their schedule is insane.
Yeah. Well, and they do an enormous amount to preserve the brand, but also to preserve the kind of mythos, the...
Yeah.
The atmosphere of the place, including that you will not bump into the same character at the same time. But the God damn it, man. But then the way around this is to design what is essentially a normal outfit around your character's palette and design.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's what Molly and...
Right, exactly. Yeah, Molly has the dress that looks like Han Solo's pants, and then she's got the black vest and white shirt.
Yep.
And then, you know, like, it's that kind of a thing. You pick a character and you try to match kind of the design ethic without looking like that character.
Okay.
So that you could be...
It's inspired by, mistaken rather than for cosplaying. Wearing,
mistaken for wearing normal clothing. Ideally.
Okay, I think I've seen this done.
Yeah, so that's Disney bounding, and that's what we've decided for this show. Each one of us has picked a character that we are going to Disney bound, and I am so fucking pleased with mine, because it came together kind of accidentally. I was like, fuck, I could do all of these, and I didn't, well, there's this, and I don't want to spend a ton on the... And I was like, oh, well, I could just put these five things together and buy special socks. Huh. Yep. That's what's going to happen.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, that is what I will be up to. Yeah. Fuck. I'm just so pumped. We had a meetup to talk about songs and things like that, because this is a musical show.
Yeah, right.
And the pianist for the show, he's just like, this was his first time hearing us go over our ideas for what we're gonna do this Friday, and he's like, guys, this is fucking terrible. Like, musically this is amazing, but this is you guys are the worst. You guys are very bad people.
I'm very excited.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm fucking pumped.
Who is it, if I may? Is that a secret?
It is not a secret, but unfortunately, I had only met him for the first time.
Okay.
It's not somebody that I've worked with before. So, come to the show. Listening to... Because
usually it would be Chad or Joseph Yee or something.
And it's not Chad Dutton or Joseph Yee. But but he's really good. So I wholeheartedly recommend. And I will know his name after the show. I just... was sort of
on it. Now that's fun.
Cursorily introduced.
You've got other stuff on your
head. But I've got that, and then I'm also I just started in on a project for Convergence, which is that I'm building a prop for someone else. In addition to whatever other costume stuff I might do, I'm building a prop for someone else, and it involves getting into thermoplastics.
Ooh.
And so I am teaching myself about thermoplastics and building equipment to shape, like inventing something to shape particular sheets of thermoplastic,
right,
in a special way. And I'm fucking so pumped.
Boss.
Yeah. We'll see if it turns out. It may not, but I'm going to try super hard. Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
Banging.
So that's...
If only I had time to cosplay when I was at con.
Yep.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I've been up to.
What you got? All right. Well, let's transition to Cedius.
I've been helping plan the bloody convention. So So there's that.
Ha ha.
But
take that.
More importantly,
in your face.
thank you.
More importantly for me though, I'm
oh, I see how this
I'm planning on doing a very thorough house cleaning and purging over Memorial Day week. I'm taking all of the week off. And I'm like, I've already gone through my clothes, and like half of my t-shirts are in a pile to go away.
Oh,
and
it's the purge.
I thought we were discussing murders.
It's like a murder.
Oh.
But
oh.
Of his memories. Clothing
murders.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I'm currently going through my massive collection of DVDs and weeding out what I'm going to get rid of, which is going to be...
Sure.
I'm trying to make it at least half of my collection, because I really don't need... Like, there's a number of things I've purchased and never actually watched.
Oh.
Because I had these grand ideas and expectations. Oh, yeah. And
it's like getting a subscription to National Geographic.
Right. And so, like, for instance, 10 years ago when I was still at a previous job, more than 10 years ago now, basically every Tuesday I would go to Best Buy and get something that came out. And it's been a number of years since I was buying on that kind of scale. Honestly, I think I've purchased maybe a half dozen DVDs in the last 3 years. That's how much I've scaled it back. But I would like get things from my childhood that I remembered fondly, and then I would watch again, like, that did not age well.
No.
Or, I am now too old for that shit.
Yeah.
Like, Elf.
No.
No, that did not. Honey, that did not age well at all.
It didn't start well.
Right.
Hush your mouth.
Well, okay, for a 12-year-old, Elf was the shit. But
all right.
As an adult...
He ate cats! That was hilarious!
No more tabby paw pie for me before bedtime.
It was so funny when I was a kid.
All right.
Voltron has not held up for me.
See, wait, sad. Which Voltron?
The original Lion.
Okay, because that
makes me sad.
That's a difficult...
Because that one's obviously meant for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles holds up just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
But Voltron just
what
is
about,
not...
What about New Voltron?
I have not caught any
My
of the
kids
new Voltron
have been
yet.
Watching that.
New Voltron on Netflix is actually pretty fucking good.
I really haven't paid much attention to it, but my kids have been watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've seen has not been bad.
Yeah, so, it's by the same people, I guess, who did Legend of Korra and other...
That would make sense, then. Yeah.
Same kind of humor and... Mm-hmm. action.
Make sure. I was saddened the day I discovered that MacGyver does not hold up at all.
Yep, I have season one, and I'm getting rid of that.
That's so bad.
Really? I believe you, but
no, it's shocking because that show was the shit, and it is shit.
Yeah. No, I have a lot of season ones of 80s television that I bought the first disc of, and then it was coming out as I lost my job.
Yeah,
my first job that ended in 2003, and then I did not get another job until 2004. It was a full year plus that I was unemployed. And so a lot came out then that I just didn't get. And so a lot of things just kind of fell by the wayside, and I never went back to get it.
Right.
So like Magnum P.I., Murder, She Wrote, first seasons of those, I've not gotten around to watching either. And I was unemployed. Oh. I had plenty of time, and I didn't watch them. So that was a thing. And then there's a number of movies that I wanted to have in my collection just because I thought I should have them in my collection. That I don't watch often enough to justify keeping.
Right.
Yeah.
Citizen Kane, Gunga Din, The Ghost of Mrs. Muir. Like,
sure.
Lots of like quasi obscure, but mostly okay. And there's cake in front of me, and I'm distracted now.
Sorry. Eat the cake.
My wife has brought in the rest of Asher's
that
birthday cake.
That is the
cake.
Rule.
Yes, eat the fucking cake, a la Jenna Young, and she would say that if she was here.
Yes,
yeah,
indeed.
My son would not say that, but eat his cake anyway.
So there's that, and then my shed is full of things that some of things were things you know how I'm going to keep this because in 10 years I might need it. Yeah, it's been 10 years. I don't need it. So I'm going to be purging all of that stuff.
Right.
So there's a number of things that are just going to straight up get thrown out. Anything that I think I might be able to sell, I will sell. Anything that I think someone would actually genuinely want that I don't think I can sell or does not sell at the sale will then go to like a Goodwill or a Savers or what, you know, some...
You gonna put any of it on Craigslist or anything like that? Or
that
Facebook Marketplace?
That takes effort.
It does take effort, but
and
I mean,
then
at
I
the
have
same
to deal
time,
with people.
Also
yeah,
true
people.
That there is that.
They are terrible.
Like garage sales. That's one thing you have an expectation of how that's going to run. But to deal with like the now, there's a few big things that I might still try to do. That I've got a very long dresser that's I would say almost as long as this bar, maybe just
holy
a little
shit.
Short. That has a marble top.
Jesus. Whoa.
That's cracked down the middle because they tried to move it by lifting it end to end and holding it straight up rather than tipping it sideways.
No.
And you really should have had a third person period.
Yeah, they didn't know what they were doing.
Something that long.
You need one person for every 3 feet of snake.
Yes, but it is a very... It's a nice marble top, but my thought is, since it's so long, navigating it in the house's hallways, like most room, you can't get it anywhere because it's too long and doesn't bend. So I'm thinking I might keep the dresser itself in the shed as storage within the shed, but the marble top, I will find artists that say, I could do something with marble.
Sure.
Or like the two halves are big enough that smaller kitchen countertops could be made of those two halves.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to see...
Or even in the hands of a right person, a couple end tables or something like that.
So I figure the marble countertops will go... You know, the marble top will go to somebody or different people.
Things with a lot more worth.
Yes. But I've got a futon frame. No mattress. Futon frame. Great condition. Hardly ever used. I just need it out of my shed.
Yeah.
I've got a leather couch that's got a crack in it. That would be fine, like on a porch as a lounge around thing, but not a quality piece of. It's comfy to sit in still.
It's a frat couch,
but there's you know.
Yeah. Donated to a fraternity or something.
Right.
Yeah.
So things like that. There's a few things that need to get gone, and then like I said, there's just a lot of little odds and ends that I'll be.
Right.
Why am I holding on to this? It's gone.
Sure.
Just to rid my house of the excess stuff that doesn't need to be there, and I really need to be rid of it, and then. Because a friend of mine who I'm helping move on Memorial Day proper will be helping me out. Some of what she is going to help me with is actually putting up the artwork I have that I've never bothered to actually put up.
No.
So I'm going to have my little Korvax shaman over my bed, and then the little crow wood carving that goes nearby for that. I'm going to hang my two... 10 wand racks that I have all, like, a whole bunch of the Harry Potter wands.
Yeah.
So I've got 20 wands that need to have their racks hung over where my dresser is, where I'm planning on sticking my little magic altar thing.
With the hair dolls and
the decorative bit, my Necronomicon that I want at Horror Fest, you know, that sort of thing.
Yep.
Because that's the decorative shit that belongs in my room. And then just reorganizing my computer room, which unfortunately the shelves that I want to put in there are not going to come right away. I kickstarted Box Throne, which is a gaming shelving unit that's
a
component thing that I am so excited as soon as it arrives. It is black shelving or black casing with purple shelving, wire rack shelving. I'm very looking forward to when that arrives, and whether or not that goes in my computer room, and which will then likely become the media room, because I'm hoping to move the DVD shelves into there, or if those stay in the living room, because my living room is done with gray walls and then black like furniture and purple accents in like the form of curtains and the Night Vale posters. Mm-hmm. So and I just got a new black gaming table for my table in the living room. So, like, I'm trying to turn my house into a home, essentially.
Right.
Where it's been, why do you still have college furniture? You're several years out of college and you have money. And so basically I'm trying to, you know, rectify that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first phase is getting rid of the stuff that doesn't need to be there to make room for the things that should be there and to supplant out those things. So, right. I my first couple of years at my current job, I Memorial Week has been the week that I would take off to do my spring cleaning, and I've not been able to do that the last 3 or 4 years, and so I'm in desperate need to do a lot of this stuff because
Purge.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, while it's not exciting to think about house cleaning as a thing I'm looking forward to, I actually am. I really want to get this done.
Yeah, I'm going through the same thing with my apartment.
I am at that age where this is extremely interesting to me.
Because, like, looking at each thing, thinking, not only does this thing bring me happiness, but even if it does bring me happiness, does it bring me more happiness than not having to shelve it and store it and arrange, you know,
move around
all
it.
Of this
And that's really what
stuff.
Inspired things. Yeah. A year and a half ago, I actually read the KonMari book.
Yeah.
And I wanted to clean, like, right then. And that's when I did the T-shirt purge. So most of the stuff has been sitting in
you
bags
were actually
for
the
a year
who introduced me to that.
Yeah. So I am very much looking... Like, this week, I'm rereading that book.
Yeah.
To gear up, because that... It's odd how motivating that book
yourself,
is. I'm excited to clean. Who the fuck am I again?
I just read the KonMari book, and man, that helped. I threw out everything that was making me really unhappy. Yeah. Yeah, I just put the book in the trash. That's just... I fucking threw it away and went back to my hovel.
See, I read the KonMari book, and I just wanted to collect things. By the way, whoever it was, I don't remember, it was that told me that there was a KonMari Android app.
Yeah.
God damn you. God.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear
damn
that.
Yeah, you. Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's just so addictive.
Yes. Yes, but it is.
No. I'm looking forward to having, like, a swank pad, but it means just exactly what you're doing. Like, very critically going through things and deciding, you know, this is not part of the life that I want.
And the fun thing is, what I'm looking forward to doing is once this is all done, because of the year this happens to be in when I bought my house in relation to my job, if I can get everything arranged such that in early September I can have this housewarming goes to 11 and basically do an 11 years in my house party at my house to say,
very clever.
I've turned this into a real place. Ta-da! And so I'm looking forward to doing that, so...
See, the interesting thing is, now that I have kids, there is a lot of stuff in my... And don't get me wrong, I do need to purge some stuff. But there is also... There's an additional layer.
Sure.
And that is stuff that is in storage now but when the kids are older, then I will enjoy it.
Mm. Sure.
You know, there's that stuff that I don't enjoy it now, but it's an
Dad's
investment
collection
in
of
the
small glass figurines.
Yeah, it's an investment in the future enjoyment.
No, those are just going to be edibles for later.
Also that.
Yeah. There is that. sir, those aren't candy. They are to me.
haven't met me, have
it
you?
Is an aperitif.
But no, there are those things my wife and I, we just have in storage because they're things that right now with the kids the age they are would be dangerous or they'd get broken or something
sure,
like that.
Sure.
Or just aren't nice enough because they're gonna get like our couches get drawn on with pen and stuff like that. So we can't have the nice couches.
Sure.
But we do have those nice things kind of tucked away in the back corner that someday. Someday.
And this is much of the DVD collection that I'm getting rid of. It's things that I bought with the idea that I'm going to have kids and I want them to see the things I grew up with because I think that'll be fun to watch them have the same kind of excitement that I had. And like,
sure,
now I am 40.
They won't care.
Well, there's
that. But that's the other thing is I've learned is because I wanted my kids to enjoy those things that I liked. And don't get me wrong, some of those things they do. My daughter loves She-Ra, which makes me really happy. But they also, like, 90% of the stuff that they like, it was made now. And and that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. Because they're making some pretty good stuff these days.
Yeah. Well, just like my nephew, he's never going to love all of the stuff that I grew up with. But
nor is he going to care because half of it, the animation, he's going to look at it and go,
fucking terrible. Or, like, video games, like... Oh, what achievements are there for this?
Yeah,
it's Mario. No, he loves Mario, so that's not fair.
And between then and now, they're going to make decades worth of video games. They don't need to play slash watch the same stuff that we played slash watched.
I did get to give my nephew my Matchbox car collection, though.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Really enjoyed the fuck out of it.
I'm not saying all of it, clearly. But
no, yeah.
But we have this thought that they are going to live our childhood, and that's just not a thing.
No, he is getting a refined appreciation for a lot of the stuff that my sister and I loved, video game wise and cartoon wise. But you can't like push that at all. It has to be like, this is what we played. You know, we're gonna play this now.
And the thought
either be interested or fuck around on your phone, and we don't care which.
Right.
But.
Yeah, and then the thought occurred to me that I really don't want them to have some of the same experience I had.
In fact, that
my mom and dad experienced me to some of the things they grew up with, to the detriment where I wasn't getting enough of the new things that my peers were talking about, and so I was ostracized as being the weirdo that had no idea what the fuck that was, particularly music. But there were even some vintage television that I was wondering, like. I could not talk to my classmates about my favorite Martian.
No, and
there were a couple others that watched Nick at Night, but I mean,
Doctor Who was
right. Mm-hmm. So things like that were, you know, it was great. It was a bonding experience with my parents, and because I was a sickly child and couldn't do a lot of young child things that the average person did, it helped to have those kind of connections with my folks. But it was not the happiest childhood ever, and so I think letting kids explore what's out there and that the other kids are exploring is probably smarter so that they can bond with their own people.
I mean, there are things that are important. Like my dad showed me the movie Forbidden Planet, which is a sci-fi staple.
Yes. That is one I am holding on to.
But like the other thing is that right now a bunch of that stuff is just available for things. And just as you say, there are so many new things. One of my favorite things to do is talk to my nephew about new video games and new cartoons that he's going through right now. Like, we bond over the cartoons that he's watching and things like that, to the point where he was watching a miniseries called Over the Garden Wall, which is fucking phenomenal. And he turned to his mom and he was like, I think Uncle James might like this movie. And she sent me a text message and she was like, and I was like, I'm fucking watching it right now. I am like already watching. This is great.
Yeah.
How far are you guys?
Did you ever do the back in my day, video games were in 16 colors?
No, he's seen it because his mom still has a Genesis and we fucking played the shit out of it. Yeah. As a matter of fact, like when I got to hang out with them, we were playing Eternal Champions for the Sega Genesis. And he was like, why do you love this? And I was like, shh, we're playing.
Shut up!
No, some of it he definitely understands, but like, yeah. I will admit, our sense of scale was very different.
So tell me more about this Katamari, Kanmara.
Okay, so
that's when Spock becomes really horny.
Oh.
And has to travel.
Kombucha.
That's Kanfar. Nice try, but no. Kanmari. So,
yes, Kombucha.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the spaceship trapped next to the black hole. And you can't. It's an unwinnable...
Okay, one, that's not a black hole, and two, that's Kobayashi Maru. I see this game. I'm gonna stop now.
No, that's the Kobayashi. You're thinking of the piece of paper that was signed by signers of the new country.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. No, that's the Magna Carta. You're thinking of cows that are raised in a gentle location where they are massaged every day. And the beef that comes from them is world class, is the best in the
world. No. You're thinking of Kobe. What I'm saying, Sidious is gonna punch us.
No, I'm just disappointed that you've drifted so far away from where James had started, because at least Kobayashi Maru was kind of close and Japanese sounding. Kobe, okay, yes, that's legit.
No, but... you're talking about a convention that happens in the Midwest at the that Sidious puts on.
Fuck.
Yes, and so
tell me about Kanmara.
So Kanmara is it's the Japanese art of tidying.
Okay,
where the idea is take all of the things of a type in your house, put them in a big pile, and pick up each one and go, do I love this? And when I say love, I mean love.
Is this the same, like, discipline that feng shui comes from? Or is this
no.
a different...
It's a very separate thing, although I believe the person who developed it had studied feng shui.
Okay.
But it's a completely separate discipline. Basically, it's a... Because space is at such a premium in Japan,
the concept is
pare down to only those things you truly need.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then... You don't have the clutter, mm-hmm. and therefore your limited space feels more open. Yeah. And
so you literally take things and put them in a pile, and then pick them up and
there's a specific,
face them one by one.
And there's a specific order that she recommends, because in part, some of it will help to the first things you go through will help train you for the kind of feeling of love that you're looking for.
Sure, sure.
Because I'm sure it's probably really hard at the beginning to let anything go.
Well, it. Done in the right order, it gets a little bit easier. So the first thing she recommends doing is clothes. Because if you take all of your closet and put it in a pile...
Well, it's slightly less
that's usually how I keep it, actually.
Depending on who you are
right now.
And when you last really did an assessment of all the clothes in your closet.
Right.
For instance, I have pairs of pants I can't wear.
Yeah. Right.
Because I can't. Yeah. Unless I'm to lose 40 pounds, and even then, I'm probably going to still have...
So by doing the things that are easily discarded, you're training yourself to make it okay to say...
Right, so the four major categories are clothes,
yeah,
media,
yeah,
papers, and then everything else. Okay. So I've done the clothes, I've gone through my CDs. Now, I'm going to MP3 everything, and then anything I don't need is going to go in cold storage in the upper level of my shed. I'm still going to hold on to that, because music is something I deeply care about in that way.
Right.
The DVDs,
it is legitimately something that you love.
Yes. DVDs, on the other hand, I don't... I go to this... If I want to sit down and watch an hour of television, I grab Buffy, or I grab Angel, if I've got time for a full movie, I grab...
Netflix.
You know, also. Now... I am not a subscriber to Netflix. I have Hulu, which has limited stuff, but it still has plenty of TV shows.
Yeah.
But
you still have the ability to watch
movies.
With DVDs of things, I found myself being like, okay, I can get the DVD of this, and for roughly the same cost. It's like $5 for this DVD that I want, or I can get the digital copy of it.
On Amazon.
Or I already have the DVD, but it's at home and I really want to watch it here. I'm just going to fucking go and buy it.
Right. And so it's just one of those things where I've decided that because I go to the same 24 things more often sure. than well, not, yeah. and then there's a few things I am going to want to hold on to because they are not something I go to a lot, but they're things that are classics that I want to hold on to that if I get in the mood for it, I don't want to have to go searching for it. Casablanca. Yeah. That's not one of my go-tos, but if I ever get back into a LARP and want to play a character that's you know doing things where that would help inspire me getting into character sure. or to see a couple of scenes, I want that. And so there's a couple of things I'm going to hold on to with that in mind of this gets yeah. me primed for like role-playing. Or
yeah, throwing everything away.
Or improv.
Just reducing
yeah.
it. Yeah.
I'm reducing it down to only those things that I could actually legitimately see myself. Yes, I will pull this off the shelf. Anything that has been collecting dust for 5 years or more
sure.
untouched goes.
Right.
Which is going to make things, a few things really hard. I have all of Robotech. Do I keep that? I don't often go to it, but it's Robotech.
It is fucking Robotech, and the mech designer on that is my favorite.
And that was a formulative piece of me getting into sci-fi.
Sure.
It's no Gundam.
It is no Gundam.
Exactly.
But Gundam I don't have on DVD, and therefore I
see Gundam Wing, man, that was...
Oh, yeah. Gundam Wing is good.
See, I was more of a Char's Counterattack, and but
you're allowed to be wrong.
It's fine.
Endless Waltz was
yeah.
As long as it's not the fucking unicorn, we're fine.
Gundam Unicorn was a really good series.
I have to agree with CDS.
I want to see Gundam fight because I've not seen that one. But because that one sounds like it's like well, you know, it's just. Mechs pit fighting? Sign me up.
Yeah, no, Gundam Wing is how I got through many nights at college.
Yeah.
But, so DVDs is going to be a little harder, but I've prepped myself.
Have you considered just digitizing?
The problem with DVDs is that it takes up a lot more hard drive space, and I don't have a LAN or
a NAS part of the like. Do I love this enough?
It's digital, but it's still digital.
It still takes up space.
It's still a mental.
With that in mind, I have 8 computers in my garage.
Yeah, it's that's still
because I've never properly recycled any of
Voltroning them, or new Voltroning them.
There's your cosplay.
Oh God!
No! Yes.
Well, I have thought about doing a Son of Ether where I've got a vest of hard drives. That's just, but anyway,
I know nothing about this.
The two reasons I have them in the shed is one, I've been too lazy to take them to proper recycling. And problem two is I want to pull like images and videos off of them so I can have, mm-hmm. here's the 20 years of my internet humor history. Which I know. That's a declutter. I should just let it go.
Yeah.
But
I looked in this folder.
But I have this might be something that you guys might Napster bad.
Oh Jesus. Yeah.
Yes, that's I have
from
that.
Forever ago. Wow.
Yes.
Speaking of college.
Taliban.
Oh wow.
Yes. I have several of those videos. But that's a cleanup. So I've already done the books, which I did not pare down a lot of because they're books. I'm basically getting rid of most, if not all, of my D&D novels, including all the Drist stuff. I thought maybe I'd at least hold on to Drist. Nope.
Forgotten Realms stuff.
Nope. All of my D&D novels were Forgotten Realms.
I see.
But I thought I'd keep maybe the Canticle Cycle. Nope. I reread that, and I didn't keep it. And I reread... Homeland, Sojourn, and whatever the third book is, or Sojourn the third, and then
Sojourn is the third.
Exile is the third. You're right. It's because those are my favorite three of the Drist.
Well, those
books.
Are like the core.
They were the second trilogy, but they're the start of the story chronologically,
right?
And as much as I like those, I didn't like them enough to justify holding on to them.
No, fair enough.
So,
well, some books, even if you like it, even if you've read it once and you really loved it, if you're not going back to it and it's not something you're going to lend to others.
See, I had.
And the lend thing I could do, but if I'm just keeping it to lend, it's not worth holding on to.
Well, and who are you going to recommend that book to?
Right, and since I'm not even D&D gaming enough to use that, as I need to get re-inspired, so I need to read the novels, because that's what I was doing it for originally.
Gotcha.
I just don't have it.
See, I used to do the Dragonlance and Forgotten Realms, and at some point I did that. I cut down to just the original Dragonlance trilogy and those three Drizzt books, and that was like all of the rest out the door. So... Yeah. And that was hard, but it was the right decision because it cleared up many, many bookshelves.
But most of my hardcovers that I got because I was reading the book series and I needed to read the next hardcover to keep going are going away because I prefer paperback. The exception to that is anything I got autographed when the author would do a tour.
Well, right. I understand keepsakes.
Because most of those are signed to me, not just generically signed. And so I'm keeping those. But for the most part, most of the hardcovers
Something that I love about going into like a used bookshop is finding weird signatures in them to people from the author, or finding notes that people have left.
Right.
Either stuff that people have tucked in, like receipts that they've used as bookmarks, or somebody taught me the habit of when you give a book to someone, you open it and you write on the first blank page, and you just write a quick note to them, and personalize it for them, and because just giving them this thing is not, especially if you're giving them something that's so fucking subjective as a book.
Right. See, on one level,
I like finding that stuff.
Hearts. On another level, fuck you for ruining something, because now it's going to be harder to pass on to somebody else if I decide I don't want it. Okay. And so I feel, if you really think that someone's going to enjoy it and I think personalizing it, bonus, and that's great. To me, the thing that determines whether or not I will buy a used book is whether or not there's writing in it that's, if it's just an author's signature or a note from the author to someone, I'll let that one go because if the author's signature is there, that might have some value.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like random stuff, gift to friend, I kind of want to rip that page out, which is destroying the... No. And as much as...
I think it adds to the character of the book.
Yeah. To each their own. To me, that's a deal breaker. Huh. But, that's a thing. So then once you get done with the media, which I'm nearly done with now, then you move on to papers. And so for me, the only papers I have are guides to the computer games.
Well, is this where books would be?
No,
would that be in media?
I put it in media.
Okay, sure.
Papers is things like your taxes. You're only supposed to hold 7 years. Anything older than 7 years, it's actually a detriment for you to hold on to.
Yeah.
So I should be getting rid of those.
Unless you filed for bankruptcy.
I have everything back to 1996.
Well, and even that's 7 years.
Yeah.
Depending on how you filed bankruptcy.
Yeah.
I suppose.
So I've got those. I've got... strategy guides to games I no longer own,
right?
Which some of those could fall into books, but I mean, I have owner's manuals that have like the code key that you need to enter to get into the game because that was the way that they were keeping copy protection for a while.
Yeah. Right.
I have all of those.
What is the 15th word on the 37th page of the? Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Those were the days.
And there's some old DOS games that this falls into media that I haven't... I've done a first pass, but I really need to do a second pass. I've got some computer games that I should probably really get rid of, but... Because I don't know why, but I have such a hard time getting DOSBox to run properly on any of my machines.
Really?
So, like, getting Privateer 2 The Darkening, which is a game I will never, ever get rid of and never tire of playing, because the cast is fucking brilliant. The game is really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so going through my papers won't take too long, and then the miscellaneous stuff that's going through the kitchen,
I see.
But I'm looking forward to getting things done, and I'm inviting people over to chat with me while I'm doing the work to keep me focused on the work.
Gotcha.
Because
otherwise you'll set it down and then be like, forgot.
I need to take a break. I need to log into my video game. 5 hours later.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I like this book or not.
I'm expressly not playing World of Warcraft and haven't for the last month.
Gotcha.
So that I won't start until after this is done.
Wow.
There's a reward at the end of the game.
Yes.
Yeah, serotonin.
And since there's a pre-expansion pack patch that has come out because the expansion is hitting in August.
You're on a timeline.
I'm already a couple of weeks behind where I should be.
Shit, son.
I mean, I could be wrong, but that's the rumor
we've heard. Where you should be.
Yes.
I'm interested in this phrase. We'll take that up later. All right.
We should probably take a break.
Yeah, what the fuck do you think about a break?
My scotch glass is woefully empty, and we need to rectify that. So we'll be back in your ear holes in just a little bit.
Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Huh. So,
ladies and gentlemen, we are back.
Oot, oot.
I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm CDS.
And we're back for our second part of this show.
Woo!
In which we talk about things.
Yay!
Yes.
Some more. Because that's, quite honestly, this is an audio medium, so that's kind of our thing.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So, did we have anything to talk about? Any topics anybody wanted to touch on? This is
I was
shit.
Thinking we
can start over.
I was thinking we would ramp into the outro. What the outro?
What? The outro.
The outro.
The outro?
The outro.
The outro.
Hey guys, how about some shoutouts?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, first.
I've got mine.
Well, before we do that, what am I drinking here?
Yes.
Oh. Well, James has the container. I need to.
You mean you don't have this stuff memorized?
No.
Dude,
I'm at like 240 scotches in.
Ha!
You are the scotch bringer, not the scotch
knower. Now, this is one of my favorite distilleries.
Yes. So this is the Benromic Portwood finish.
And it does have a lovely rose color to it.
I do love port.
22 year.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Ooh, smell that aroma.
Yeah. No, this has got a lovely nose.
Mm.
Definitely has the port.
Yeah, I was going to say.
To it. It's got
port.
A little bit of the...
I can
honestly, it's got less
wine.
Of the color than a lot of the ports that we've had on my show. It's darker, but it's not nearly the ruby that a lot of the ports get.
Yeah, no, this is more of like an amber red.
Yeah, this is just
right.
Touching an amber.
All Here right.
Here we go.
Mm.
That's got a little more bite to it, but wow, is that good.
Yeah, but it definitely has kind of the port fruits in it.
Yeah, I was going to say there's a sweetness.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which is why my co-host Dave is not a fan.
Whatever.
As a general rule, he doesn't like the port finish stuff all that much, and I think he's just wrong. Port.
Yeah, that's okay. He doesn't have to know what's good.
Yeah, that tends to be what I say in his general.
But
direction.
It's uh-huh. sweet, but it still has that oaky, you know, licking an oak board with a little smoke on it.
Oak mousetrap.
Yeah. And I should know.
Yes,
with the port varnish. Yeah.
Okay.
That is delightful.
Who has a shout out?
Well, I was going to say, you know what else I like drinking?
What?
Sometimes in my morning happens at 5 or 6 p.m.
Are you drinking port in the morning?
I'm not. That's a good way to wind down on occasion. But I will say what I have enjoyed in the morning is instead a strong cup of coffee.
Indeed.
And do you want to know what coffee does that best?
Folgers?
No. It's like in the ad, they're like, we switched this Folgers
Toll House
with a real coffee.
They don't make coffee.
They make chocolate.
No.
Maxwell Silver
Maxwell
Hammer.
House.
Oh, yeah. Well, they are good to the last
Starbucks.
Drop, and I do recommend that you drop them. No. No, they're racist as fuck.
And they make milkshakes. They don't make coffee.
Correct.
Caribou?
No.
Their decaf is adequate, but only adequate.
Tim Hortons.
They make a fucking great cup of coffee. But it would be even better if they served True Stone Coffee.
True Stone Coffee.
Indeed. True Stone Coffee. Why, it is the best coffee you can have. Not only is every single blend perfectly roasted, but they are exquisitely packaged and sent off to you so that you don't even have to go and get them. They just arrive on your doorstep freshly roasted with the born on date stamped directly on the bag. Sounds along with lovely. Your name. So you know it's yours, you know when it was done, and you have as much time as you need to enjoy it.
Wow.
I have some Sumatran roast at my house right now.
Indeed.
Neat. Tell me more, James.
Do you know what would make it even better?
What?
If you could buy this coffee at an already low price, but then also get a discount.
That would be fabulous.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. If
how
you
does
go
one
to
get this discount?
TrueStoneCoffee.com. Again, that's TrueStoneCoffee.com. And use the promo code Apropos.
But it's spelled Scotch.
You backstabbing motherfucker. If you use the code Apropos, you can get 10% off.
10%?
Your order.
10%? Yes,
indeed.
Tell me more, James.
It's almost 1% more than 9%.
That's amazing.
Almost exactly 1% more.
Wow.
So... not only do they have a wonderful coffee, they have wonderful swag as well. Fill up on their shirts, their glasses, etc. I personally am mixing their cool brew, which is fucking exquisite, with the shakes that I have for my diet.
Mm.
And that's...
Making that's coffee shakes?
Wonderful breakfast, yes.
Getting the coffee shakes.
I have indeed myself used a cold brew with my vanilla protein powder and had a wonderful
that
latte.
Sounds like a pretty good thing.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Well,
and it's motherfucking delicious. So remember, everybody, your coffee maker has a setting for perfection, and it begins with the best coffee from True Stone Coffee Roasters.
Wow. Tell me more, James.
No.
Go and get it. Salsa, you motherfucker. I trusted you.
Yes, and only goes so far.
Yes, and go get it. That's kind of... All right, shout-outs.
Tell me more, James. Okay, well, I'll start.
Pretty with your mouth shut, Salsa.
Contracts. I'm going to give a shout-out to Contracts.
Yeah?
Contracts are great. They ensure that you get the money that you're promised.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing.
Indeed.
On a completely unrelated note, I will not be appearing at the Port Washington Pirate Festival this year.
Did I hear the quotation marks around unrelated?
Also that. no, I red flags were thrown up when the phrase, our email correspondence should suffice as an agreement. And I went, no, it's not. No, it's not. And that was the end of that.
Fair enough.
And I was very polite about it.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I did not burn bridges or anything like that. And I was not an asshole, but it was like, no, that's not going to work for me.
Sure.
Because contracts, I'm giving a shout out to them for a reason.
Mm.
And I will not work without one.
Mm-hmm.
Probably wise.
Especially considering what I do is so dangerous and literally putting my life on the line, and I am not going to do that without somebody's signature somewhere.
Correct.
Absolutely. End of story. So yeah, they are a good thing, and you should have them. And I mean, that's just... how to say this? The fact that anybody would think that it's not necessary baffles me.
Well, for a show to acquire your services.
Like, I did a wedding for a friend and I sent him a contract.
Sure.
Like, that was just... And he was happy to sign it because he's not a terrible person.
Yeah.
You know?
But
well,
he's your friend?
Well, I mean, it's Rob, so he's kind of a terrible person. But in the good way.
Right, yeah.
Love you, Rob. By the way, your wedding was a lot of fun. But no, I have a friend who has done this festival before, and I guess it's under new management. Hmm. And he was like, because I told him, I was like, they're not doing a contract. And he was like, that's really disappointing. Oh, and I cannot in good conscience recommend this festival to anyone now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's sad. Like, that is extremely sad to me, because it does not take a lot of effort. And I
know
some, I partially sympathize, because she was like, I'm basically the only, I am putting this whole thing together myself.
Right.
And I'm like, I sympathize with that. I genuinely do. But it takes like a half hour's work to get a free template off of the website and alter it to your needs and then send that out to people.
Yeah, right. It's not that hard.
Like that just it
I understand it is an investment in time, but it is an investment.
It absolutely is. Yeah. It is for, well, and it's not just for my protection, it is for their protection.
Also that.
It is for their protection to have my signature on it, say, you know,
yeah. Agree.
I just no.
So contracts.
Contracts, that is what I am giving my shout out to.
All right. Cedius, do you have yours?
Sure. I'm going to give my shout out to the book KonMari, The Japanese Art of Tidying, because I have always been a really crappy housekeeper, and reading that book is like, no, really, this is what I should be doing. This is how I keep my house from turning into a collection of random junk that no one's going to want after I'm dead. The other really cool thing is I did learn that the better way to store t-shirts in a drawer is, rather than folding them the way you're traditionally taught to fold a t-shirt and then lay them flat, is to fold them one more time and then have them on their side.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so basically
make delicate little Swiss rolls out of mine.
Mm. Yeah, that would probably work relatively well too, depending on how tightly packed they are. This way allows me to have, in a drawer that used to be able to maybe have 8 to 10 t-shirts lying flat,
sure,
can easily hold 18 to 24.
Sure.
Depending on the thickness of the fabric.
My aunt does the thing where you do them up on end, like a file folder.
That's
fine when it's packed full, but as soon as you have a half empty
fall
one,
apart.
Then,
And this is why packing it really tight and then doing as many t-shirts as I generally wear in a week, which is anywhere from like 2 to 5, depending on whether or not I change out of a shirt when I get home.
Sure.
There's still enough there that it doesn't collapse in on itself.
Mm-hmm.
And so long as I'm like rotating through what I'm wearing, it does a decent job of like keeping anything from getting too worn.
Yeah.
Right. And that works really well. You're not wrong. If you don't have the drawer full, or if you have them full to the point where now the other half of like pants lying flat or something, can hold it in place. Yes, there is a certain critical mass you have to have for that to work. But as a general rule, if you're using this art form to try to tidy things down, chances are you have too many to start with.
Fair enough. Fair, yeah.
And so
that is fair.
The fact that I've pared down and I still have 18,
mm-hmm,
and I'm getting rid of more than I'm keeping.
Sure.
Yeah.
Could you spell that for us?
KonMari.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All one word?
All one word. Okay. You can find the book on Amazon. That's where I got it. It's basically a portmanteau of her name, shortened pieces of her name.
Yeah,
it's,
I see.
Marie Kahn something is her actual name.
Oh, okay.
And so she reversed it and then...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Or, okay, well, reversed it from an American perspective. But
so CDS is saying is get one more piece of clutter before you remove all of the clutter.
Or, you know, go to the library and get
it's
the order.
It's also called, Swedish death cleaning. The idea being exactly what you said. I don't want to leave behind a house full of crap that someone else is going to have to sort through and get rid of, you know, piece by piece.
Oh, no. See, that sounds awesome to me. I would collect the weirdest shit.
Sure.
That way, when I die, somebody's got to sort through that.
But the thing is, then you would keep this because it is making you happy to think how fucked up... Why?
I want someone to make a house on the rock out of my shit.
Yeah. Why does Dad have a meat hook in the basement?
Exactly. Exactly. And why are there tiny bits of pink dildo hanging off of it? Like,
shit.
I want my kids to go, what the fuck?
Fair enough. Yeah.
And that makes me happy.
Yeah.
But see, on KonMari, you would love that, and therefore you would keep that.
Yes! So. I would love so many.
This is, it's working already. My shout-out is to audiences.
Ooh.
My shout-out is to audiences. Good. Because it is, like, people who produce art usually, they do it because they have to. Because it is the pressure valve. You know, it's the safety on the internal pressure. It has to come out. But it is incredibly gratifying, not just to cook for yourself, but to cook for someone else. Not just to swallow a sword, but to swallow a sword and then bow to a crowd of onlookers. Not just to write a book, but to have somebody read it. And, like, for me, part of my dream with that is I would like it if something that I made changed the way that somebody looks at the world. And for that, you need an audience. And it's them giving up their time and sometimes their money in addition to that in order to spin the wheel, roll the dice, and potentially see something that they don't fucking care about that was a waste of their time. But they're very kind to do that, and I appreciate it. Yeah.
Cool.
Shoutouts.
Awesome. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, James.
Oh, yeah, Salsa.
Hey, Cedius.
Hey, Salsa.
Hey, Cedius.
Hey, James.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
We are such nerds.
Oh, yeah.
For those that do not know how this works, is you, that's right, you, the dear listener, sends us two emails. The first email contains nothing but five choices. We do not know what these choices mean. We are only given the options.
Yeah.
And it is only after we have gone through all five and made our choices that we open up the second email and find out what the context is and if we really like our answers or if we're sorely disappointed in everything we have done with our life up until that point.
We find out who is right.
And who is dead?
Fuck. Love it. Yes.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from a Mr. Mud.
Yay,
Mud! That's right.
And the little mud puddle.
Yay, mud puddle. Yes. In fact, the subject line on this is crybaby.
Oh. Portentous.
Mm. So, Fast Five movie? Questions.
Right.
Question number one. Matt or Tim?
Oh, God.
Tim.
Matt.
Well, Matt is more prone to crying, but I still prefer
like,
Tim.
At the end of Die Laughing, like, if this is a Die Laughing question, Tim is going to cry at the end, but Matt is going to cry the whole time.
Also true.
Yeah,
I'm still going with Tim, though.
Yeah.
Those tears taste better because they're more infrequent.
Oh, shit! Also, because he's diabetic and can't produce insulin. So, it's...
They're not as sweet. There's a tartness to them. Yeah.
I can't fucking...
Damn it, James!
All right. What's our next question?
It's like a Belgian tears. I'm going with Matt.
Fuck. All right.
Question number two.
Yes.
Jenna.
Oh.
Or Susie.
Oh.
Susie,
for those that listeners who do not know, is a member of the Dregs and
she's an amazing singer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So
I'm gonna go with Susie, I suppose.
I don't get to pick Susie very often, so I'm gonna have to go with Susie.
Fair enough. What did you say?
Susie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question number three. Nick or Porter?
Oh.
Ooh.
Shit.
Crybaby.
Porter. Yeah. I think I've seen Porter cry once, but I don't think I've ever seen Nick cry. I'm sure it happens, but...
I'm going to go with Porter on this one.
Yeah. Is that three Porters?
That's three Porters.
Three Porters.
Question number four. Captain America.
Okay.
Or Spencer.
Huh. Ooh.
So by Captain America, I
think they mean David.
Yeah, he's
Dave,
about David here.
I'm
gonna go with Captain America.
I think I'm gonna go with Captain too.
Fuck you guys, I'm going with Spencer just to buck the trend. We can't all three pick the same thing every single question.
We absolutely can. There's no rule against it, James.
I'm making a rule against
it. Literally no rule against
well,
it.
Well, now we're half and half.
Well, okay, one of them coached me for vilification tennis, and it was Spencer. I'm picking Spence.
Okay. Question number 5.
Yes.
Chad or Bob?
Oh, these are... All vilifiers are former vilifiers.
Chad was never a vilifier.
Chad was never a vilifier.
Oh, I suppose. No, he goes with the dregs. Or did go with the dregs.
He was with the dregs.
Oh,
also, Captain America was never a vilifier either.
He was an amateur.
He tried out.
He tried out, but he was never
a vilifier. Correct. I'm going to go with Chad, I think.
Shit. I'm going to pick Bob on this one.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I fucking love Chad so
much.
Oh,
I love him to death.
But I also love Bob, and Bob doesn't get a lot... Like, we give him a lot of shit, but we don't...
Well, he's old.
Well, he's very old, and a pervert, and impotent somehow
Speaking
also.
Of old, did you see they made a Conan the Barbarian movie?
No. Holy shit.
Like, they made a Discworld Conan the Barbarian
That is fucking awesome.
Movie.
I love that.
Yeah.
They made Trollbridge into a movie, and I fucking want to see it so bad.
I loved the Conan the Barbarian thing that they did in Color of Magic.
Yes.
It was so good. Yes. All right. So, fuck. I'm going to go with Bob. Bob is an amazing photographer.
All right. Going Bob the Builder. That's right. I said it.
And I mean, I guess comedian, but...
That's the thing.
All right. Jazz.
Fast 5 context for Crybaby.
Shit.
Time for another remake. It's time to do the time warp. Let's recast Rocky Horror Picture Show. What?
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Fuck.
Okay. All right.
Having been on the Shadow Cast in the Twin Cities for 15
this
years.
This is perfect.
Yeah, this will
Well, I've been retired for 5 now, but I was on the cast for 15 years. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Matt or Tim, who would you cast to play Frankenfurter? Yeah.
Matt.
Hold on. Yeah. Try to get that image out of your head.
I've seen him do burlesque, and that image is already burned into my memory.
Frankenfurter, yeah, it has to be Matt.
It would be Matt.
Yeah,
it would absolutely be
Tim
Matt.
Tim would do Brad, but not Frank. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Tim... Matt. Matt would play it with the sultry...
Tim might be a really good... Dr. Scott.
But
that'll be Bob.
Frankenfurter drips sex. And
Matt just drips.
And Matt just drips, but
may
Matt
he rest in peace.
Matt can be really, really, what's the word I'm looking for?
Slutty?
Sensual?
I love him so much.
I know,
like,
but,
it's fucking...
but you know what I mean? Like, that erotic. Yeah. It's the eroticism. Yeah. Matt can do the eroticism.
Yeah.
That I don't
I
think...
Find
if
the
if Tim tried...
to be the most erotic.
It'd be, yeah, it'd be
Tim,
awkward if Tim
yeah,
did
if
it.
Yeah, if Tim did it, it would just be...
Right. Yeah.
Question number 2, Jenna or Susie?
Okay.
Who would you cast as Janet?
Suze.
Yeah, I think Susie.
Suze seems more... innocent.
Yeah, Susie, I think, would do a better contrast of the innocent to slutty than Jenna would.
I'm going to stand back from you.
Yep.
Just a ways. Just no reason.
No. Both of them will cut me for what I just said, but it's okay. I stand by it.
Yeah, this is a catch-22 right here. You're not going to get out of this one clean.
I mean, when I think
my
about
my superpower is awkward truth, so...
When I think about it, our primary running joke for Jenna is that she has had a date like that once, which is contrary to the image of Janet Weiss. So,
yeah, it's just both of them would be competent in the role.
Oh,
I want
absolutely.
To make that clear.
Oh, 100%.
I think Susie would portray a greater contrast.
Yeah, I think I gotta go with Susie.
Yeah.
All right. Question number 3: Nick or Porter? Who would you cast as Eddie?
Oh, that would go Nick.
Shit.
Nick, I think, has a little bit more energy and more of that machismo that Eddie has. That I don't know that.
No,
that
but Porter. No, Porter. Like, Porter went to clown school. Porter can really put it out there
if
he wants to.
Huh.
It's just for the last decade or so, Porter hasn't wanted to. No, honestly, he just got sick of it, and he moved from entertainment to management, and that's fine. But when he was still out on the street, man.
No, it's Nick hands down for me.
I just, as you said on the last one, I think either of them could do a fucking bang up job at it. Maybe I do go with Nick. I think I'm going with Nick.
I kind of need to lean towards Nick. Just, it's a 51-49 thing, but I think I got to go Nick.
Well, I think they would each do different parts of that role the best. And
yeah,
overall, I think I'm going to have to go with Nick.
All right. Question number four, Captain America or Spencer? Who would you cast as Rocky?
Spencer. He's already...
Spencer does have an edge on that.
Like, don't get me wrong.
Both are in great shape.
David is he's a fucking very pretty man, but, no, Spencer spends all day with his shirt off. Yeah, like, that's just...
Spencer's
and because I'm one of those people who gets hung up on the minutia like that, he's also blonder, and that's...
Sure.
Gonna be a thing for me.
This one is easy in my book. It's Spencer.
Yeah, that's Spence.
No. Question number five, Chad or Bob, who would you cast as Riff Raff?
Ooh, Riff.
God, I gotta give this one to Chad.
Yeah,
Chad. Yeah, I think Chad.
Chad's a shoe-in for that.
Mm-hmm. Bob just isn't greasy enough.
I was gonna say, Chad does a really good, like...
Chad is
kind of
he can do
slimy
smarmy,
if he wants to. Yeah.
Well, whereas I think if Bob tried to do it, it would just come off as grandfatherly.
Sure, I can see that.
Yeah. to throw myself under that bus, Riff Raff was the character I originally wanted to play.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And did for a number of years, but I started as a Dr. Scott.
Okay.
And then moved into Riff Raff eventually, but that was back when I still had the long flowing locks.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Once I took my glasses off and couldn't see, I was very good at doing the extra surly that Riff Raff has going on. So it was very much method acting.
Yeah.
So I hate all of you.
Easy enough. Yeah.
And then after I'd been doing it for a number of years, it was very easy to slip into the "I hate everybody."
Huh? Right.
Yes.
So was that our
harder to get out of it?
Was that our number five?
Yes. Yes.
That was five.
Oh,
was
holy five. Shit. See, Jenna, I think, would be a fucking dynamite magenta.
Yes.
See, I
do agree with
that. And honestly, of the two, I might actually cast Suze as Columbia instead of
she
Janet.
She would be really good.
Woen as Janet would be amazing.
Yeah. No, but...
Oh, no. I know. Yes.
Fuck.
Touch it. And Lori as magenta.
Oh, that's fucking funny. Like, that would be good.
Interesting.
Huh.
I have a harder time with that one.
Hmm. No, staying mostly within the Vil Dregs kind of family those mm-hmm. seem to be asked in, I think of everyone on the cast that I can think of, Lori is who I would pick as magenta.
See, I would cast Jeffrey as Riff Raff.
I can certainly see that.
Yeah.
I would honestly even put Jeffrey as
you can also do Brad.
Frankenfurter.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Shit.
And then Tim would be the criminologist.
Fuck. Oh, that dump spot on. Hit the nail upon the top. That's fucking...
But no, Jeffrey, I think Jeffrey as Frankenfurter would be...
Yes. Sure. Jeffrey as Frankenfurter would be perfect.
Spot on casting.
Yes. Oh. That would be...
Jeffrey would also be a really good magenta.
Also that.
Yeah.
I would go Columbia, honestly.
Or that, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck. I'm going to be thinking about this all day. God damn it, Mud.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, is what
much.
I meant.
Yes.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. com. In the first email, please send the five choices, and in the second email, repeat those choices so we know we don't have to jump back and forth between, and then provide the context. Please label the subject lines to those two emails similarly so we know they go together.
But
and
if you send in...
Getting there, thank you very much. And if you send in more than one Fast Five set, please give them different emails or subject lines so Google doesn't thread them together. Remember, if you somehow get us a physical copy, then yours will jump to the top of the list. If you have never sent one in before, yours will jump to the top of the list. And if you bribe us with booze or something like that, obviously, yours will jump to the top of the list. That about wraps it up.
Woo!
Thank you so very, very much to our guest host.
Especial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To Sidious.
Grazie, grazie.
Sidious Scotchbringer, who lives up to his name once again.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
This has been a really, really fun, generalist stretch. Not because she is gone, but because of the interesting hosts that we have had in her stead.
Oh, I've enjoyed listening to the other ones that have happened thus far. So no,
it has been a real adventure for us because... That's not a joke. We literally don't know who's going to show up until they do.
Yes.
I saw you pull up outside, and I was like...
the only clue I had today was because Jenna tells my wife who's coming.
Yeah.
So my wife knows who's going to be in her house, which is fair. But she said... he knows that you might be late because you're at your son's birthday. So I was like, so it's a he.
Yep.
Nah.
Like, I knew gender, which is what I have not known up for the previous few weeks.
Right. No, Jenna actually had to Facebook me this morning to, one, remind me for sure that I was down. Good. I was like, yes, I am down. And she's like, by the by, if you wanted to be a little late, it's okay. And I'm like, cool, I'll go to Matt's and have a burger.
Yes.
Matt's bar, not Matt. Alex's.
I mean, it's the same guy, right?
¿Por qué no los dos?
They both make sandwiches.
I mean, Matt does enjoy
pork. I have yet to have the triple pork, which is really...
The triple pork?
I have pointed this out to Matt.
You have never had the triple pork?
Nein.
This is a travesty.
What has happened?
I love how we went German accent.
Yes. Hello.
We are pirates.
I just don't like saying
my talk.
James.
Yes.
What shows you going to be in?
Okay, this Friday is Villa fucking Cation Tennis. I'm just in love with this show already. I am so god dang excited for this.
Be our guest.
Yes. Villa Cation Tennis sings Disney, and it's going to be just monstrous.
Get your goddamn tickets now.
Monstrous in scope. Monstrous in execution. Wonderful. I'm just pumped for this. And
this is genuinely the first show since I retired that I'm kind of going, it might be kind of fun to do.
Good to see you there.
I don't know. Could you have written a song about it?
I'm not a songwriter. That's the problem.
No, I'm making the joke to the
but
last
I can
time.
Sing.
No, when you did your thing for you, that was your joke.
Yes.
Oh God, that was such a great. That was seriously a good bit.
Deep callback. I'm sorry.
The next show is Kyle Decker's competitive erotic fan fiction, The Game Show, which will be taking place, I believe, at the Phoenix.
Okay.
At 10:30 on Saturday.
Okay. And by the way, the vilification was Bryant Lake Bowl.
Correct.
10 p.m.
10 p.m. Friday night. Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else?
Chess, but that's in a month.
Okay. See
you. You can check out my show at scotch.xtlpodcast.com.
What do you talk about there?
Scotch, interestingly enough.
Weirdly, not as much as you talk about what the guests are doing,
hey,
which
James.
Is fucking fascinating.
Well, I mean,
his show sounds
that.
Pretty interesting. Tell me more.
they talk about some shit.
Well, you know, you've both been guests, so I think you can both talk about it. Salsa,
yes,
tell me about my show.
But not in a really long time, hint, hint.
Yeah. Yeah. I think my memory could use a little refill.
Yep.
I mean, refresh.
Yep.
I meant refill.
Mm-hmm. Top off my memory a little bit.
It's a little corked.
We can work on this.
go to scotch.xtl
Podcast.com.mountaindew.
And then listen to these guys because they drink scotch and they talk about scotch and it's ridiculous. And
The tagline that we originally wanted to do the show with and we never remember to fucking bother to say is we try it before you buy it.
Yeah.
We've dropped a lot of money on these varied bottles and there are times where we regret this greatly, and there are other times where, like, I can't believe this costs this. Go out and buy all the bottles now before they raise the price like they should.
If you are somebody who enjoys scotch, this show you will find very interesting. And if you are not somebody who enjoys scotch, you will still find this show interesting.
Indeed.
So please go check them out. Support everything they do because they are wonderful. Anything else?
Nah.
Convergence.
People who are welcome, people interested in keeping me company while I clean my house can reach out to me on Facebook.
Sure.
I will not ask you to do any of the work. If you volunteer, that's great. Exception, if you're there the day I want to clean behind the couch, I might ask you to help me move it because it does need to get lifted off the floor lest I scrape the wood.
And as he said earlier, go buy Katamari.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will be at Fire in the Shire on June 9th. I will be doing 4 shows there. That is a Saturday-only festival. And it is only about 1.5 hours from the Twin Cities. So there's really no reason for you to miss that one. It'll be a great little way to whet your appetite for the upcoming Renaissance Festival. And there is a medieval arms and armor museum in this town of Alma, Wisconsin. So you should go check that out because it sounds pretty rad, actually. But I'll be doing 4 shows, 2 half-hour shows, and 2 15-minute shows. It is Fire in the Shire, so I'll be doing a ton of fire there. Anything else? We get ready to wrap this up? We good?
I'm good.
Yeah, I'm
he
good.
He said inquisitively.
With a question mark audibly placed at the end.
All right. In that case, all I have left to say is thank you so very much for listening, and we have a whole bunch of my son's birthday cake here in front of us. So, yes. Ladies and gentlemen, eat the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Take it away, Salsa.
Cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.